I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
So how
are you?
I only saw you last week swimming in the beautiful Brighton Sea. How have you been the last few days?
It was lovely in the Brighton Sea. How's your shoulder?
Well, I'll just tell everybody that I've got a frozen shoulder, and I was a bit worried about going in the sea with Jane, but actually a few little strokes in the sea and it really did my shoulder good. It was great. I really enjoyed it. It was a lovely holiday coming down to see you.
So nice. You were a beautiful house guest.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know, it's so like nice to come to your place. I loved it. It was really LA, man. It was so cool out on the beach.
I know. It was so cool. You were a very good house guest, because I've had a previous house guest, because I'm very OCD. Mm-hmm. And my previous house guest, who is a male, had some new blue jeans on.
Oh,
and he stayed overnight. And when I got up in the morning, there was a blue handprint on the wall.
Oh dear.
He'd had a bit too much to drink the night before, and in steadying himself on the wall, had left his markings.
So what did you do about the blue hand on the wall?
Well, I screamed. No, I didn't scream, actually. I was quite calm for me, and I did manage to get it off.
You didn't draw around it then?
No, I got it off with one of those magic sponges.
Oh, very good. That sounds good. And I think I need a magic sponge around the whole of my house.
And your body.
Oh, and my body, for definitely. I've got loads of blue handprints all over. And I've got loads of, like patches from my HRT. I'm covered in patches because I'm a bit mucky and I don't scrub myself properly. So where my patches have been, I've just got endless patch marks all over my abdomen.
Have you? Like tide marks, but patch marks?
Yeah, patch marks where the glue was left a little square. And I've got loads of them. I'm just turned into a sort of HRT patchwork person.
maybe a patchwork quilt, but an HRT patchwork quilt.
Yeah, I could use all my, all the little squares that I have to take off twice a week. I mean, I don't know where they go to, but yeah, maybe I should make a patchwork quilt with them. It'd be a bit thin. It wouldn't really, it could keep you quite warm if you have quite a few layers of.
Yes, you could double, exactly. You could double up the patches.
You could, yeah. Mm. And where the stickiness is, you could stick little, bits of glitter. And maybe if I rolled in glitter, you know, regularly, maybe all the glitter would stick to the gluey patches as well on my body that I left, and now they're all just black and dirty. You know, maybe I could just have glitter patches instead.
Well, that's the reverse of the quilt. The glitter is the reverse.
Yeah, it is.
So you could have one side glitter, one not. You could do a Tracy Emin, a piece of artwork on the actual patches, because they would be quite boring if you just had an HRT patchwork quilt. So you would have to do a piece of artwork on each patch.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure somebody must have done that already.
No, they have not.
maybe I should, or I could, because they're quite sticky. I could stick things onto them, couldn't I? I could stick little messages
are beads, good.
Yeah, or slices of courgettes, because you know I've got quite a lot of courgettes still.
Well, nothing that's going to go off.
Yeah, but it could be a process, couldn't it? The story of decay and HRT patches.
But you wouldn't want it on your bed if it's got all decaying courgette.
I know, but I've got Tom with me and he's a bit, you know.
Is he like a decaying courgette?
Sometimes smells like one. Because he's a bit, we're a bit like the twits, you know. Don't have that many baths or showers. I think that's good though in these times, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And we probably bathe too much. If you remember when we were growing up, a bath was a luxury. We'd have a bath a week. And otherwise we'd have a top and bottom wash.
I know. What? I mean, we must have been, were we saving energy then, or were we just mucky?
No, we just didn't. Yeah, I think we were saving energy. Maybe it was just a luxury, wasn't it, to have a bath? To fill up a whole bathtub. And in the olden days, everybody got in the bath, didn't they? In fact, we used to do that. I think we used to do that as teenagers, you know, that we'd maybe share bath water.
Oh, yeah, everybody used to share their bath water, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I always offer my bath water to Tom, but he always turns it down.
Does he? Is that because you're weeing it?
I try my best not to.
Would it work the other way around, that you would go in Tom's bathwater?
I don't mind. Probably not, though. It is probably acidic.
Well, yeah. If he smells of courgettes as well.
Yeah, it does smell, yeah. But anyway, he didn't smell this morning because he's gone off on his... he's gone to do his gig, because he's on weekends at the moment. He's doing different tours around, you know. So he's in Spain this weekend. Doing his gigs with Jim Jones. So, So he's very excited. Off he went. He left me with my kombucha. And because I've been busy making kombucha. And
what's kombucha?
Yeah, it's a drink. You know, like we always talk about, like, the properties that the bees give. Well, you know, kombucha is another sort of natural thing that's really, really good for you, and it's got a lot of you know, bacteria, healthy gut bacteria. In fact, Jane, you should be drinking kombucha every day. I'm sure it helps with, like, trumps and, you know.
Would it help with my trumps?
Because I noticed I was your house guest and I did trump, because you were just trumping all the time, and I thought, Luminette, you do trump a lot, don't you? You trumped like Billy O'Joe. You trumped at the table.
That was only once. I only did one trump, and it was at the table.
Yeah, you did. Did you trump when you went on, when you said you were on Saturday, what is it called, Saturday Kitchen?
No, I didn't trump then. But I've noticed that my tummy's gone quite big recently.
Oh, well, you need this kombucha then, because that's precisely for that. Mm. And it's full of loads of, like, nutrients and healthy bacteria. And so it's been, like, going for thousands of years in, like, Asia and all around the world, in fact, in all different places. And we've just come onto it now. And, you know, it's a beautiful drink. It's really refreshing. And it's a great alternative to alcohol, because it's sort of got a fermented taste, a little bit like, you know, cider vinegar or some sort of alcohol, like a natural wine. And you can add lots of herbs to it and fruit. And it's really delicious.
So if I was to get kombucha, how would I go about doing it? And what is the process?
Well, You have to have a big jar.
No, how would I get it? First question, how would I get it? Sorry, there's an ambulance just going by.
It would come in an ambulance because it's a live thing. And if it doesn't get to you soon and you don't put it in the right environment, it could die. So your friend could give it to you if they make kombucha, or you can buy it in the post. I bought mine from a company in Cumbria and they sent it in the post and it arrived and it looked like something that you would get out of an old manky plug that had sort of rotten old beer in it and it was blocked and or in a jar of fermented yuckiness. And if you open the lid and there'd be like a layer of sort of gel on the top, that's what they send you. Mm-hmm. And that's called a SCOBY. And it's a mixture of bacteria and yeast. Mm-hmm. And it comes in this water that's got acidy things in and bacteria and yeast, and then you have to feed it with tea and sugar. Mm. And the bacteria lives on the nutrients in the tea. Mm. And then it changes the sugar into sort of healthy sugars like fructose and sucrose. But it actually then it produces these enzymes. The more sugar it's like a living organism. Mm. It produces enzymes that break down the sugar even further and turn them into healthy bacteria and nutrients and vitamins. How amazing is that?
That is amazing. So when do you know when your kombucha is ready to drink?
So because you feed it on quite a lot of sugar, the SCOBY. So it's in like a jar full of tea and water, and you have to use like an unchlorinated water. So Tom gave me a little one of his Camden tablets, a little teeny tiny bit, which he uses for brewing, and that kills the chlorine in the water. So I think you can't use normal tap water because the chlorine in the water would kill the bacteria.
Mm.
And then the SCOBY feeds on all this over about 6 days, I think. And then between 6 and 9 days, you try it. And if the sweetness has started to go and you like the taste of it, started to turn a bit sour because it's a very sour drink, then it's ready. And then you can add like herbs, flavouring. You could add an easy one, could be like apple and ginger. I'm only just started with my SCOBY. So I've only had it growing. It does grow, actually. It grows and produces another SCOBY. So then you can take one SCOBY out and give it to a friend. So I could actually give it to you and then you bake it.
It sounds a bit of a ball ache.
No, I think because I haven't done any brewing, but because Tom's always brewing stuff, you know. He couldn't wait to get started with it, but it's my project because it's not alcohol. It's not free of alcohol. It's got about 1% alcohol, but it's so delicious. And if you buy one in the shops, it can be anything up to like £4, even £5 for a really nice bottle of kombucha.
Oh, so you can buy it in bottles in a shop.
Yeah. So you buy it in health shops.
Yeah,
it's not really in the supermarket, but it's all in health shops or even, you know, like fancy, you know, nice deli places like my one near me, Middle Lane Market. They have it and it's so yummy. And then you just, it's just good for your gut. So, I'm going to be doing it and then drinking it.
When you've had it in the shop, have you noticed a difference when you've had it?
It really, first of all, what I did notice is I did a lot more trumping and burping to start with, but I think it sort of gets your gut really healthy. So first of all, you know, it might just start to cleanse your gut. So for you, you probably have to stand on your balcony and, you know, you might blow the traffic away with the sort of gas.
Storm. Oh, yes, that would be perfect. And then there'd be no noise.
Yeah. So you could do that. And maybe you could even set fire to it at the same time. But no, don't do that. But so you, you know, once you start drinking it, you might have a period of a bit of reaction to it. But then once your gut has got all those healthy bacteria in, it's really good for you. It's so good. Oh, dear, Jane. I don't know whether it helps with sneezes, but it's probably all the same. But anyway, so I'm very pleased with myself because it's always Tom that's always doing the brewing. And he's made, because we've had so much fruit, he's making plum wine. He's got cider on the go, as well as he's just, done all his hops and he's got a beer. So he'll be, wobbling down the street and I'll be supporting him because I'll be only on the kombucha.
Yes. And so do they provide you with a jar? Or do you have to get your own jar?
So Tom got me the jar. He got me a 5-litre Kilner jar and it was online and it wasn't that expensive. It sounds massive and it's got like a little tap at the bottom. So you can, once you've done the first stage of fermentation, when the SCOBY is busy been eating all the sugar and the tea and it's been changing the water inside the big Kilner jar, then you can take the... put the tap on and pour the kombucha into a bottle, and that's when you add your flavors. So once it's fermented, then you add your flavors and you leave that in for about a day, and then you can start drinking it, and it starts to naturally carbonate as well, so it's a fizzy drink.
Oh,
so maybe that's why I was burping a bit after it, but yeah, it's fizzy.
Obviously, I don't like fizzy drinks.
Well, you could shake yours and get rid of the bubbles.
I think it sounds too much like hard work to me. And if you've got a Tom in your life, it makes such a difference because Tom has brought so much to the table with this kombucha, hasn't he?
Well, he ordered me the jar because he likes doing things like that. But I could have ordered my own jar. It wasn't difficult. In fact, most people have got, I just got a big jar because I know I love kombucha. But you can do it in a 2-litre jar. It's not got to be that big.
Well, and if you've got... I'm going to try it in a shop first. I'm going to try and have it in a shop and see how I am off it.
All right, then. Well, why don't you try a couple of kombuchas this week, see what it does for you.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
And if you don't like the bubbles, when you put it in the glass, just give it a bit of a stir.
And the bubbles go, do they?
Yeah, because it's all it is it's carbonated, isn't it? So once it comes out of the bottle, to get rid of any bubbles, you just stir it and the bubbles come up to the top and they pop.
Yeah. Is that like really basic science? Am I being a real thicker?
Well, it is basic science. But, this is, I think this is, what I'm like. I like learning about new sort of things. And it is a chance to be, to be learning, having your own sort of biology lesson with this SCOBY. Anyway, I was so excited when I got my SCOBY through the post and I put it into the jar like it was a really live product. And I was thinking, what sort of voice would it have? And what do you think this SCOBY, what voice would it have?
I think the SCOBY has got a Birmingham voice.
Do you? Okay, then. And it sort of floats around eating the tea and the sugar.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like that. I'm eating the sugar now and I'm turning into something else. That's how I work. Because it's not fast, is it? It's sort of going quite slowly.
Yeah, it does actually. It sort of undulates around. Well, it floated at the top, first of all, and then it sort of sunk halfway. Sort of like a big, like if you were to go to like... a sort of, an aquarium and look in the tank and you'd see like a SCOBY floating by, sort of bobbling along.
But do you think that you sort of have got this live organism in your house and it's sort of doing its own thing? It's not like a dog or a cat, is it? It's this thing that's sort of... doesn't have a brain, but it's kind of just doing its own thing. Is it not a bit sinister?
No, I like it because, it reminds me of, mushrooms and fungus. I like the idea of that. I like the idea that it's got some sort of intelligence. But, fungus can actually make decisions. It knows where to grow and it can follow roots. These symbiotic relationships, like fungus has a symbiotic relationship with the soil, with the trees, they're sending messages to each other. So this SCOBY, I thought it was a Scouser, my SCOBY. Mm. My SCOBY has got a relationship with the sugar and the tea, and they're like getting on together, and you know, they're good friends and they need each other, and they need each other, Jane. They need us like us. We need each other.
Do you think that we've got a symbiotic relationship?
Oh yeah, we have. We'll have to work out what it is, but we need each other, don't we? We cheer each other up. Yeah, we've got information for each other and we help each other.
Do you think if we had to choose, who would be the mushroom and who would be the man? Yeah. Who would you be?
I think for a new start and beginning, I'd be the mushroom.
Oh, I wanted to be the mushroom.
I like the idea, don't you? It's just like, there's so much we don't know about fungus. You know, fungus is just, it breaks things down, doesn't it? And changes things. And in fact, we break things down too, don't we? Like our species, we're changing stuff all the time as well, aren't we?
Usually in a bad way.
We are, as a human race, we are breaking things down. We're breaking down our own planet.
Our environment, yeah. That we'll be broken down before the planet is.
Oh, yeah, we will.
The planet will keep on going because it does replenish. That's what's so brilliant about the planet. If it was left alone, it would replenish so quickly.
We've gone deep, aren't we?
Oh, ever so deep.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because it was the full moon at the weekend. It was the harvest moon. And in harvest time, obviously we're sharing all the products and we're making a lot of food and we're giving it to our friends and stuff like that. And there was a girl on my community garden, and she's Kurdish, and she said in her culture, you have to, when it's the harvest moon, you have to give some food to somebody else. And she gave me some goat's cheese, some goat's curd that her mum had sent her from Turkey. I don't think she wanted it, so she passed it on to me. And then I bought it to yours. I ate some of it. And then by the time I got home, I'd forgot that it was in my bag. And then when I opened it, it had sort of fermented and turned into something else. But
had that gone fizzy?
It looked a bit fizzy, yeah. But there's so many things on the allotment now, so many squashes and tomatoes, and like Tom's, yeah, been busy like making plum wine. Think you'll try it?
Oh yes, that sounds lovely. Love that.
Yeah, you know, everything's having like a second wind because of the rain that's come after this dry weather. Mm. Everything's like replenished, and you know, it's amazing, really. You know, even the bees, I've noticed they're bringing in so much pollen. And yes. I haven't looked in the hive, but it looks like they're doing a lot of collecting. And there's a lot of flowers around.
When we were at the allotment last time with Arthur, there was a plant in your garden. And that you said that had had a second come in.
Yeah.
What was that one? It was all white.
Yeah. Well,
or was it yellow?
It was yellow. It was Mivabascum.
Mivabascum.
Mivabascum Olympia, Giganticus, I think it's called.
Oh, and it was just what's it called again?
Verbascum giganticus.
Oh, Verbascum giganticus is really plain. It's our second coming.
I know, it's just like, I mean, it's preaching to the converted. It doesn't need to, but it is.
You look like a Wallace and Gromit character then, because we're on Zoom at the moment, so we can see each other. You look like a character from Wallace and Gromit.
Who are? Yes. Which one?
Might have been, what was she called, who Wallace was in love with? Wendoline.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so you've had lots of produce, which is lovely. Now, I wanted to ask you, because a friend of mine you've met him, Max, who's into his allotment. Mm-hmm. Now, they've had a big competition, and he has... he won about 3 or 4 prizes with his vegetables, with his marrows and his tomatoes. I think I might have asked you before whether you had competitions on your allotment, and you said no. Is that because you're beyond competition?
No, we do have a competition on our allotment and lots of people enter it. I've never entered anything, but yeah, it's taken very seriously, and people enter, you know, all the vegetables, the longest bean, and I have got a giant squash this year. I showed it to you last week, and it's the size of a baby, yeah. And it's the weight of a big baby, but a small toddler. So I think I could actually enter that maybe if
why don't you?
There is going to be a show coming up. I'll save it, but I've eaten its baby brother and it was delicious.
Well, save the big baby then and enter it into the competition, because I want to know how well it does.
Oh, yeah, I think it'll win. It's an absolute, you know, it's like my niece who's, you know, she was a giant baby, Willow, and we don't want to sort of shame her, but we sometimes call her Willow the Pillow because she's just such a big, squidgy baby. I think now she's moving around a lot more. Squidginess is going to drop off, but she is a big baby, like my squash. It's a big baby!
As Bonnie, Willow's sister, seen the big squash, the big baby squash?
No, not yet, but I'm going to see her on Friday, so hopefully she'll see it. But it's about as big as her. I might put her bonnet on it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And draw a face on it.
I've done that before, actually, with my squashes. And when I'm so proud of them, I like to give them a little shawl and wrap them up and, you know, and I'm proud. I'm a proud mother of
these
squash.
If you did that in the competition and you laid it on the table, on the competitive table, in its shawl and its little knitted shawl and its little bonnet, would they think that you were taking the...
Hey. Yeah. Well, I don't know, because they want to keep me on side at the allotment because I've done one bee talk, and probably by the time this goes out, I will have done two bee talks. So they might just they might just be kind to me because, you know, they don't want me to be upset. And because
would you set your bees on them if you got upset?
I wouldn't do that. I'm not that type of person.
But maybe they'll give you the sympathy prize because you have been so good and because you've got some very threatening bees that you could release onto them. Mm. Maybe they think, oh, well, we'll give her the prize for the biggest squash, even though she might not have the biggest squash.
No, but nobody's got a squash as big as mine. I've checked.
Oh.
Walked around the allotment and gone, you know, looked over to people's plots, and I've not seen as big a squash as what I've got. It's a candy roaster, enormous.
So you're a winner there. So that's a winner. What do you get for if you won first prize for your big size squash? What prize would you get?
I think you get like 20p.
20p?
Yeah, you get it's sort of very small prizes. 20p, 5p. That's how they do it. You get a prize.
20p?
It's very small, the prize. And you just...
I thought you were going to say £20.
Oh, no. It's a very nominal... Is that the right word? It's a very small prize. Mm. 20p, I think. 5p, maybe, for a giant bean. 2p for a large potato. It's not a big prize. I think they have to give you some money as winnings, but they don't give, like, a massive prize.
Right, OK. And do you have a ceremony?
Oh, I hope so. I love a ceremony.
Maybe you could walk down the aisle with your squash.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely do that. Walk down to the car park and hold it up high with my one arm, because obviously with my frozen shoulder, I can't use the other arm. So I'd have to just balance it on one arm.
Maybe you and Tom could walk down the aisle as newlyweds with your new baby.
We could do, yeah. We will do that. We'll do it this autumn. In this moon cycle, this harvest moon, maybe at the end, we'll do that.
I think that's a good idea. So, Esther, what's happening with the bees, just to keep me updated?
Oh, there's a lot of pollen coming in at the moment with the bees. There's lots of coming and going. But I was a bit worried, Jane, because I don't know whether I've ever explained to you, some bees can rob off other bees. Have I told you about that before?
Yes, yes, you have, yes.
All right. So, yeah, I wondered whether there was a bit of robbing going on in the colony, because I put some, when I took my honey off, I put the wet supers back on, and I wasn't sure whether some other bees came along and they got a whiff of the honey, because if they whiff the honey, they can come and rob it. Mm. But anyway, I'm going to be doing a bit of a check, but just for the last winter check, and, you know, put the Varroa treatment on.
Well, that's just to interrupt, but how would they rob it without it all sliding about?
So what they do is that they break into the hive through the guards, and, you know, some guards are good and some aren't so good. So if they get in and they go up to the where the wet comb is with the honey that, you know, still left on the comb, they just take it and they just clean it all out. And then they might think, oh, this hive has got loads of honey in here, we'll just come back for more. And they literally come back until they've taken all the honey out of the hive.
But do they store it in their mouths?
Yeah, they store it in their honey stomach.
Yeah.
Because remember, they've got two stomachs. Mm. And then they take it back to their hive, and then it's their honey.
And then they just regurgitate it when they get to their hives.
And if you've got a disease like EFB, that's when they could catch it.
Right.
Do you think, because I know when we saw each other, you were pretending to be a bored beekeeper. But I know, when we saw each other, you were pretending to be a boring scientific beekeeper. Some beekeepers are known to be a bit dry when they talk about bees. I was going to ask you about, you know, if you're one of these sort of, you know, just dry beekeepers who haven't, you know, who just are very scientific, what would you say about that, Robin?
Well, that is the nature of bees. That is what they do. I mean, we can't stop them. It's like we have robbers, isn't it? And we often can't stop our robbers. But that is just human. Well, that's bee nature, that human nature for ours, but bee nature for them. And so we just have to, we just have to let it go. That's part of nature. It's not very fair on the bees, obviously, when they're losing their honey to a different colony. It's not very fair, but it is what it is. Mm. And we just have to let it go. But it's a rare thing. It doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it does.
And do you like honey? Do you like, how do you have your honey?
Well, I think all beekeepers like honey. That's part of the reason why we are beekeepers, because we like the produce. We like what they produce. I like honey. Well, I better not say how I like honey.
Oh, please share it with us.
Well, no, that's for private consumption only. But I do like my honey on a little bit of dry toast.
Well, I like character. I think we'll have to definitely invite the character back, won't we? What's your beekeeper called?
He's called Harold.
Harold, we'll definitely would love for you to come back on the show because you were so interesting. But thanks, Jane. I know you've got to zip off to do other things, and you've got exciting things ahead, which hopefully you'll be sharing with us at a later date. It was nice. Yeah, you're doing the job. You've got a new job coming.
Oh, yes,
you?
I have, haven't I?
Can you tell us about that yet?
No, not yet.
All right, then.
No, I can't tell you that.
So I know you've got exciting jobs ahead, and I can't wait for you to share that with everybody. But in the meantime, I hope you enjoy your swim tomorrow, and I hope the sun shines in sunny Brighton. Have a good day, Jane.
Thank you so much, Essie. I wish you were coming this weekend as well.
I'll come soon, and we can walk down the promenade together.
Yes, and we can go in the icy cold sea if it's winter time.
I'll put my hat and scarf on my woolly jumper before I enter.
Enjoy your kombucha.
I will. I can't wait to report to see whether you know, I might explode. I'm not going to eat the SCOBY whole. I'll just drink the kombucha.
Yeah.
All right, Ducky. Love you.
Love you. Bye, Essie.
Bye. Bye.
Queen Bees is written and created by Esther Coles and Jane Horrocks. It is produced by Claire Broughton and Andy Goddard and partly recorded at the Hives on my allotment near Crouch End in London. Our title music is Sweet Nothing by Amy Mae Ellis and Will Cookson. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Queen Bees Pod for pictures and videos from the Hive. Queen Bees is a Hat Trick podcast.